I have a very important question for you. I have an important point to make. Plug your mic in. What is your secret? What is the question in your family, the mystery that you would love to know that would help your life better? What's the classified information that you would like access to, that you would love to be in the know for? Well, it's week two of our series, The Domino Effect. And I'm Keith Harkin, your lead pastor here. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to in the lobby after service. But in this series, we are going through the book of Colossians, which is Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And we are talking about the dominoes that need to fall in our life and how one small domino, a small two-inch domino, when this falls, it can actually knock another one over 1.5 times its size. And last week, we talked about the domino that can fall in our lives, which is when we are proximity to the ascended Christ. And John Michael, our guest preacher, came and talked about how that when this domino falls, another one can fall after that, that is bigger and larger. And this week, we're talking about that one, and it's the mystery. It's the mystery, it's the secret, it's the classified information that I am going to share with you today. This mystery, this secret, was revealed to me when I was here about in 2006. The previous pastor was a small domino. Some of you got it, some of you got it. The previous pastor was a small domino in that he impacted my life in a way that I never really knew. He told me, he says, I asked him, hey, I'm going into ministry, I said to him. I'm starting the path. I says, can I get involved? Can I, pray for people at the altar or something? Can I serve communion? He said to me, Keith, I would kick myself if you went to another church. And I knew that was Dave saying, off you go, fly and go to a place where you can thrive. And that mystery started a domino effect in me. I went to another church, to Palmasia, and when I was at that church, I met another domino. Bruce Toms was down there, and he molded and shaped me and helped me to see my calling in life and gave me some essentials for becoming a minister in a church. And after Bruce, from that domino, I was sent to Wellspring in Northwest Tampa, a church there. When I got to that church, I met a young man who played guitar really poorly. He was involved in the worship team. He was involved in AA meetings and Narcotics Anonymous meetings. He was in and out of rehab with his life. I found out he mowed the lawns in our neighborhood, and he was in and amongst the church family there. And because he had no money, I thought, I'll hire him as the youth director then. Well, that's a good idea, right? And so Tim Barton got involved in ministry at Wellspring in and amongst the people there. Another domino started to fall. After that, Tim was then sent to Dunedin Methodist down the street here. Some of you know that church. Dunedin Methodist was there. And he met another domino, which is Jason Knott. Jason Knott happens to be the son-in-law of the other little domino over here, Dave Baldridge. He married his daughter. And Jason Knott was another domino in Tim Barton's life. You remember Tim Barton? He came here and preached one week, hairy guy with a lot of tattoos, you know. He came here and preached. Last week, it was announced that Tim was getting his own church in Fort Pierce. Woohoo! Yeah! Super excited for Tim. and to see the domino effect that has happened in his life, and to see the different people who had the mystery and the secret embedded in their lives and how that's impacted Tim. There's domino effects everywhere. In fact, I heard some testimony and some story this week of how dominoes have fell in other people's lives so that they could be here with us, indeed in worship, or something's happened in their life where they realized that they knew they had a secret. Paul is telling us about the mystery today in Colossians. And we haven't moved on too far in Colossians from last week. We're at the end of the chapter, in chapter 1 of Colossians and verse 24. So if you've got your Bible with it, open it to Colossians 1. We're going to show it on the screen, but if you've got it on your phone, type it in right there so you can make marks on it. And you know, you might see something different in it today. So open it, Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29 is where we're going. So Paul, the apostle Paul, responsible for communicating the gospel all in and around the Mediterranean basin, he is now writing to Colossae. This wasn't his church. It was a plant from one of the plants he went to. Paul's in jail, and he's now encouraging the church at Colossae with these words. He says, "I am glad, verse 24, when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you." Paul says, "I am suffering for the church." In that he's not suffering like Christ, he's suffering as a model. He knows that this is his mission in life. He's not a person that is claiming to be somebody who saves people. He doesn't think that he can fix people. He doesn't think that he can save them. And he hasn't got like a Messiah complex. Paul's main drive in this text is that he would have a mission complex, and that the people in Colossae would get this too, that the mission of Christ was at the heart of everything he did. And he was suffering for it. He was in jail, but he knew definitely that this was for the church. He knew that everything he did was about the mission of the church, and he felt like he had a responsibility for serving his church and by proclaiming the entire message of God. The entire message. What is that message? What is the entire message that he was trying to communicate to the people of Colossae? Verse 26 says this: "This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret: Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory." This is the message. Now, the first secret or the first mystery, if you like, is the fact that the Gentiles are in on this. For such a long time, the Gentiles have been out of this secret. And so he's writing to Colossae and in Asia Minor and says, "No, you are in." So the Jews who are reading this are like, "What the heck? The Gentiles didn't? That was a mystery. We didn't know that." And he says, "Yes, you are a part of this mystery. You're a part of the secret. Here is the classified information that you need to be in on. You're in on it. You are a part of this people." And here's the rest of the secret. Here's the rest of the mystery, he says. He says, not only that, but something's revealed to you from generations past. He says, this is the secret. What is it? Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you in Colossae, he says. And this gives you an assurance of sharing his glory. Christ lives in you. Colossians and the Gentiles are like, wow, this is amazing. That God has made it known to them in you. He's saying, in each and every one of you, there is Christ in your heart. Those of you who've decided to follow Jesus, those of you who've said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. You're the man, the person, the God that I want to follow. We all have Christ in us, amen? And we have this Christ inside our lives. And it's a mystery in itself. Some of you might have grown up in crossing yourself. Some of you, when I say a benediction or Pastor Kathy says a benediction, you cross yourself. We see it. We see you genuflecting, it's called. And genuflecting is a thing that says, I want Christ in me. I want to display Christ in me. I want to know more of this mini Christ in me. It's inside our lives. We have this portable Christ going around with us. It's like a cellular device that you carry with you everywhere you go. And you are this cellular device. You are the Christ in you. It's in you. In fact, the word you there is a plural you, which means all of you. If you're from the south of this great country, which is about north of Tallahassee, yeah, if you're in the south, then you say something else. You say, all y'all, right? Some of you say that, all of y'all. I can't really say that. It's kind of weird. But where I come from in Liverpool, you don't say all y'all. You say, use lot. Say that with me. Use lot. Use lot of God, the shape of Christ in you. All y'all. All of you have Christ in you. This is what Paul is saying to the people. Use law of this Christ in each and every one. He's trying to get this home. He's trying to get this message home. He's trying to say that actually, Christ is in Dave Baldridge. Christ is in Tim Barton. Christ is in Bruce Toms. Christ is in Jason Knott. And Christ is in you. Amen. This is the mystery. This is the mystery that you've longed for. This is the secret that you've looked for all your life. This is the classified information that you have wanted in on. This is not you need to look like this person. This is not you need to look like this person. This is not like, oh, I wish I went to, you know, to church 52 times a year. This is Christ is in you for those who decided to follow Jesus. He says, Christ is at work in you. Christ is a part of your life. So what are we to do with this information? What are we to do with this? Well, first of all, we have to know what domino number one is. Now, remember last week that domino number one was our proximity to Christ. And our proximity to Christ is stored up in domino number one. And we have inside of here potential energy. We have inside of here a potential energy going on. And when that is knocked over, it moves from potential energy into kinetic energy, and it is able to knock over the next domino. When Dave was talking to me, and when Tim was talking to other people, and when Jason was talking, this is the energy that was in domino number one, proximity to Christ. And then when this is placed next to domino number two, there's an opportunity, to see this next one knocked over. Domino number two is saying, oh, Christ is in you, knowing the proximity of Christ, and now we know that Christ is in you. And Paul is saying, when you got these dominoes, when you have these things inside of you, somehow this energy and this mystery is able to get into this cold, deceitful heart of mine. And these dominoes, these things start to fall. And this one is like 1.5 times bigger, but I couldn't really deliver that one, find that one. But you get the idea. Domino number one and domino number two are important for us to see what it means to be a Christ follower. And the importance of how that it merges in amongst our life. And how we know that Christ is in us. And what do we do with that? So we know that. So we're aware of that. Now what do? Paul says, so we tell others about Christ. This is verse 26. So we tell others about Christ, warning everybody, everyone, and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So when we have these two dominoes, when we have the proximity of Christ, when we know that Christ is in you, what do? We tell everyone. In the original here, it says everyone three times. And what do? We teach everyone. We admonish everyone. We tell them about this Christ inside of us, and we tell them about the wisdom that God has given us, and we present them to God in all maturity. It says perfect. The original is, I want everyone to know the maturity of Christ. What is a mature Christian? Is being a mature Christian being present every week? Is being a mature Christian opening your Bible every morning? Is being a mature Christian giving to feast every week? What are the marks of a Christian, and what are the marks that make him or her a mature Christian? Well, there's lots of other people around the country doing this series right now, doing this domino effect. And I'm in this like chat room kind of thing, and we're sharing ideas. And this particular topic came up. What does it look like to be mature? And one of the guys in the group, David Mills, said, I really think we need to nail this down. And he said, here's some three marks of what a mature Christian looks like. They're to have the love of God and the love of people. That's the first one. We all agree with that. Say amen. Okay. We have humility and be willing to suffer for others. No amens, okay? We have an unshakable commitment to the mission of Christ. An unshakable commitment to the mission of Christ. And that's Paul's game. That's his bent. That's the reason he's writing. That's the reason he's existing. His bent is that others will also know the maturity, what it means to follow Christ. And he goes on to say, I strive for this. Or he goes on to say, here, I work real hard and I struggle for this. And the Greek words of this are a lot more fun. The Greek for work is kapaio, which means labor and work and give effort to. You ever work on something, you've got to continue to give labor and work and give effort to. He says, that's what I do. I give all of my effort to make sure that others will be mature in Christ. And then the next word that he uses for struggle is agonizomai, which you might recognize is the same English word that we use, I agonize over this. You have anything you agonize about? Yeah. I agonize about what it means to follow Christ. I agonize that other people may also understand this. I compete, I struggle, I strive. And maybe you have got something that you are agonizing about. Maybe there's a family member who is hurting and sick and in pain, and you would just wish that they would understand how much God loves them. You would understand how much Jesus would want them, would love them to have a relationship with them, and how this would relieve some of their pain and suffering. Maybe you've got a situation at work that is, if everybody could just understand that, to be like humble, understand, and then maybe this would work, and you agonize over this. You want this to happen. Maybe you've got a friend or a dear one that you would just love them to be here with you today, and you know that you could bring them here and bring them to a place where their hearts could be lifted somewhat. And you agonize. You agonize and you strive. And Paul says, and that's all good. And you can have all the energy you want. You can drink as much coffee as you want. You could get excited. You could get excited like Paul. But Paul says, I don't do it on my own strength. I do it at the strength of Christ in me. So we can't do it with our own strength. We can agonize and we can do these things. But Paul says, I do it with the power of Christ in me. He says, I do it so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And that power is at work within you. That power is at work with all of y'all. That power is at work in you's lot. It was at work in Dave Baldridge. It was at work in Bruce Toms. It was at work in Tim Barton. It's at work in Jason Knott. And it's at work in you. Agonize over these three things. This is domino number two. Domino number two is that you would know the mystery of Christ, that is Christ in you. Amen? That in all of you. And the next thing I want you to do is that work hard to look for other people who are mature. Work hard so that people's lives would be mature. And the next is depend on Christ's energy. Depend on the energy of Christ that is in you. I want you to know this secret. I want you to know this mystery. I want you to know this classified information that you've been given today, that's been shown to you in the scriptures. I want you to work hard. But I don't want you to agonize in your own strength. I don't want you to think you can figure all this out by yourself, because it never works, right? I want you to look to Christ that is in you. I want you to look to the potential energy that this can possibly have. I want you to look to that when you realize that Christ is in you, this provides some kinetic energy that can knock over something 1.5 times to what you started with. This is domino number two. Christ is in you. Christ is in all y'all. Christ is in you's lot. Amen. And one of the ways we celebrate this, one of the ways we celebrate Christ in you all, is through communion. And today we're going to take communion together. The table is open for all. We don't believe you need to be in a membership. We don't believe that you have to be a part of this church in order to take communion. You can come to the table if you're just looking for Christ in you. And on that night when Jesus was the night before, he was just about to go to the cross, he got in an upper room. He already had a dinner with everybody. He had a dinner with everybody, and dinner was over. The kind of the deal was gone by, and the dominoes have fallen, you know. The dominoes have fallen, getting ready for Christ's crucifixion. And one of the major dominoes that needed to fall before he went was that people understood the sacrifice he was making. Supper was over, and he said, "Here, take this bread. Take it, taken amongst you. And he broke the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the disciples' mouths like were open, like, what the heck's going on? We've taken the bread. We just had dinner. And they passed it round. And they'd already had drinks. They'd already had enough to drink. But then Jesus took the wine, the drink of the day. We've got juice here today. And he said, this is my blood that was shed for you. Do this as often as you remember me. This is the next domino. And he says, this is so that you would remember me and my sacrifice. This is so that you remember me, that Christ is in you and can be in all y'all. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Gracious God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells within us richly, we come to you at this hour, seeking you and seeking your presence in our lives. Holy Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit on these people here gathered on these elements of bread and juice. We pray, Lord, that they would be our body. We would pray that this would be our blood that is pumping around inside of our bodies right now as we share together, as we agree together what these elements are, Lord. We ask that you would indwell us in a new and powerful way today. We ask, Lord, that we would know this mystery, that we would know this secret, this classified information, and that we would go from here and tell others. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask the communion servers to come to the stations and prepare the table. And as we get that prepared, you are welcome to come to the table nearest you to receive the elements. If you need them brought to you, just simply raise your hand and we will be happy to bring those to you right where you're sitting. And at each station, there's also gluten-free. So just let the servers know if you need to receive that. Come, the table is open.